And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania, where it's just a balmy 80 degrees. Well, you know, don't you like these weather reports, huh? Folks, we broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time right here on our flagship network, the Global Star Radio Network. So thankful that they're allowing our message to get out. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's BTR, of course. And you can watch us live in my archive right here. Right here. Look, right there. See? On our YouTube channel. See? Look at a handsome guy right there. Huh?
Hey. Got color today.
Hey. Actually, it looks pink behind me. I don't know what's going on. Don't forget, folks, we've got two different websites. Actually, the links to the audio and video broadcasting venues can be found at HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. Two N's, spell it all out. And, of course, HagmanReport.com. That's for news, information, and analysis. Things you need to know, show prep, good stuff there. And I'm Doug Hagman at the helm. Joe Hagman, my son, researcher. And,
bad speller.
Bad
gotta
speller.
Give it,
yeah,
just
you
a
know,
quick announcement. I misspelled something
on
in
the
show title.
Right, right.
And I can't change it because it will change the URL for the show.
Just give us a
I
break. Okay?
Apologize.
We're doing 5,000 things. You know, here's the thing. We don't. Okay, people like Dave Hodges and us. We don't have staffs. You know, hundreds of not hundreds, but we don't have like. You know, 20 people working for us. Okay, we've got to empty the waste basket. We do. We empty the waste baskets, clean the toilets, and Eric, Joe, and I, we do everything. Okay, so just so you know, we don't have a staff. We don't have a secretarial staff. We don't have a, you know, we don't have interns. We don't have people out there. We have people to help us. All right, so sometimes things just happen, so thank you for that. Anyway, we're going to open up tonight's show. Look, we got a really great show tonight planned. Later on, we're going to be talking about something extremely, extremely mm-hmm. important. I don't know how many people saw this, but folks, if you're not paying attention to what the what's going on worldwide with the occult rituals, you better start Illuminati ritual intended to honor Satan with the opening of the Gothard Base Tunnel. Folks, I've gotten all the emails. I've seen all the videos.
Biggest tunnel on Earth.
Right, 35 miles, what is it, 35 miles long or
under
whatever.
Under the Swiss Alps.
2,000 meters deep in places, basically.
Which anyway, is significant
yeah.
in itself.
But we're going to address that later on before we do, and the significance of that to what's going on in the world today. But before we do, at the last minute, we asked, or Joe and I asked Dave Hodges to join us because he's got some extremely critical news. If you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, thecommonsenseshow.com, let me say that one more time, thecommonsenseshow.com. And if you heard his broadcast last night and the weeks prior, go there to thecommonsenseshow.com and make sure you support him as well. But Dave Hodges has got some extremely critical and groundbreaking information. Dave, thanks for joining us on short notice, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure to be on with you guys anytime.
Well, I'll tell you something. You've done some extraordinary research, Dave, and I would urge everyone to go to thecommonsenseshow.com right now. You've done some extraordinary research. Dave, where are we at here, real quick? And I know that you're up against some time constraints, so we're going to be very, very wary of that. But what in the world is going on here with respect to what you're finding out here domestically? I mean, you know, what's I'm just going to turn. What's on your radar, brother?
My radar is not big enough to handle all that's coming in. You know, when I got started in this business, I thought it was a matter of correcting a few issues and cleaning out the bums and getting the right people into political office. And I've come to realize that's a fallacy of the nth degree. We are under attack in every aspect of our life. every aspect. You name something, I mean, it's just, I can't keep up with it. You know, and the thing is they're brazen. When I had Steve Quayle on my show a couple of months ago, Steve said, we're living in the times where all things will be revealed. And that's really happening. I published an article this afternoon, a very brief article, as a press release from the National Toxicology Program, and they're under the National Institute of Health. And they said in the press release, we're going to have to announce that cell phones cause brain cancer. Whoever thought you would have seen this?
Boy, that's news, huh? I mean, quit talking conspiracy, Dave. Come on. I mean, seriously.
I'm looking at the carousel on my website right now, Doug, and it's just, it's crazy. Poland will put 35,000 troops on the Russian border, so yep. War is clearly on the way. That's a provocative move. And then the brain cancer story with the cell phones and the government admitting it. And here's one, and this is one I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about, and I didn't even cover everything that was on this article here. It says the EU is finding a way to legalize child abuse. Now, to the novice, well, and I got taken to the woodshed for saying this morning in the article, but to the novice, they may not connect the dots. But the three of us, you, me, and Joe, and good number of the listening audience that you guys have, we have their playbook. We know how the globalists do business. And what they have is they have a document that was put out from the European Parliament. I've linked to the document so people can't say, oh, this is fantasy. It's there. And it says a European framework, national statute for the promotion of tolerance. And let me read to you one section here, guys. It says definitions for the purposes of the statute, and they go through all the things that you can say nothing against, and I mean nothing. You can't utter a word that's overheard in a restaurant, and you'll go to jail. That's what they're, and this is going out to every member state of the EU to their legislatures to put in and codify into law. It says racial, cultural, ethnic origin, descent, religious affiliation, linguistic links, whatever the heck that is, gender identity, that's a big one. But here's the big one, Doug, sexual orientation. And that sounds like a benign term. We've heard it so much. It's like, who are we interested in sexually? Is it person? And for some perverts who use bestiality, which is now legal in the army, it could be a cow, it could be an animal, it could be women, it could, anything that is fair game sexually to hetero, LGBT, whatever it is covered under sexual orientation, and I mean everything. And what I've been maintaining, and I've been saying this very consistently, and I'm sure that you'll recognize this, I said we're moving down the path of bootstrapping from what used to be called one sexual deviance to another sexual deviance, and using the prior sexual deviance to basically justify through bootstrapping the next sexual deviance. Now, I want to make this clear. I don't care what people do in their private times. I don't care who they sleep with. That doesn't matter to me. I could care less. But they are, and not, it's not the people practicing these lifestyles I'm even talking to. It's the New World Order who's taking these lifestyles to turn it into something. And what I've been saying clearly for years is that we will see a time in this country where pedophilia is legal. And I'll go back to DSM-3, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, used by psychologists to diagnose mental illnesses in the 1960s. If someone was homosexual, they were deemed to be mentally ill and they had a sexual dysfunction. Then you go to the 1990s and DSM-4, same book, same purpose, different edition. Then homosexuals are okay, but if you're a transgender, you've got gender identity disorder. And this was what I was raised under. This is what I went to grad school under. This is what I learned when I became a mental health therapist. And then now what we're looking at here is we're looking at DSM-5, which came out last year, and And basically what it's saying is anything goes. There are no prohibitions. Now, it doesn't specifically mention abusing children, but if you look at the progression from the LGBT, we've moved to the transgenderism. Canada is preparing right now, and I wrote about this, it's on my website, preparing to pass legislation that does the same thing. If you speak against transgenders publicly, if you say they don't, transgender man does not belong in a woman's restroom leering at little girls, you can go to jail for 2 years. That's what's coming through. And I may have to change phones here, Doug, because I get the low battery signal for some reason. But that's what's coming through.
Okay, no problem.
So, but here's what we're looking at. What comes after transgenderism? You've got gay and lesbian. Then you've got bisexual. Then you've got transgenderism. Then what's next? Pedophilia. And we know people like George Soros have donated $2 million to NAMBLA. Now, what's NAMBLA? NAMBLA, excuse me here, and I'm sorry, this is very unprofessional, but, okay, NAMBLA is the North American Man Boy Love Association, and their moniker phrase is sex before eight or it's too late. Quite frankly, I don't know how they're still walking on the streets and not behind bars because they're advocating open criminality. It's not a lifestyle, but it's going to be a protected lifestyle because LGBT, every one of those groups, they now have more civil rights than you and I do is practicing, biblical practicing heterosexuals. So next in line is child molesters. Doug, I can draw no other conclusion. I've been saying this for years, and now we're on the doorstep. And quite frankly, I've had enough. You know, it's not up to the majority culture, heterosexual, to basically bend to the whims of minority practicers, whatever that practice is, to say we glorify you and give you more civil rights. No, we tolerate you under the Constitution. We recognize your right to civil rights. We recognize your right not to be persecuted and bullied. I completely support those aspects. But now they want to take it a step further. What they're talking about in this European document is they're even talking about, you know, application to education, and schools in Europe are going to have to teach, gee, look how wonderful these people are. And let me read to you one more thing here, and this should get your attention. This almost goes without comment, our need for comment. Under Section D, same document, public morals, explanatory note, examples. Tolerance does not denote acceptance of such practices as female circumcision, forced marriage, polygamy, or any form of exploitation or domination of women. So in the article, I wrote an editor's note, and I said, why doesn't this document mention protecting children instead of only protecting women? I think this is very telling, Doug. Now, people say, Dave, do you see conspiracies on the wallpaper? Well, yeah, I do if it comes from the New World Order because I have their playbook. I know how they think. I know incrementally how they sneak things in. And, Doug, I know we're speaking the same language here, aren't we?
You know what, Dave? We are. And look, folks, if you don't, and there's no reason for you not to understand, believe, and hear what Dave Hodges is saying, just simply search after the ball, how America will conquer its fear of hatred of gays in the 90s. Okay, this was written by two homosexual intellectuals, Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen. One of them is no longer with us in the larger sense, by the way. I'm not sure which one. I think it's Madsen. But having said that, they provide a very concise playbook of a very concise overview of the manipulation, the legal manipulation. And you know what, Dave? At the end of the day, what this is going to be is an attack on our faith, an attack on our First Amendment rights, and an attack, both criminal and civil, well, an attack on our liberties in the civil and criminal venues. And you know, Dave, I got to tell you this real quick, and then you can jump in here. But I just want to say this: people, when we started talking about this, I was getting emails saying you're talking too much about the homosexual agenda, or you know, there's hatred in your voice. Now, you know what? Look, I know homosexuals. Okay, I like you. You know, you can't change what they're, and I have no reason to want to change, other than salvation. What two consenting adults do in the privacy of their home? Okay, other than salvation,
agreed.
All right, but this goes beyond that. People don't understand that this is part of a larger organized tapestry of an attack against of Christians of the world. And you know, Dave, you've done such an excellent job of exposing this, especially the progression on your website. And folks, everybody, please bookmark and read Dave's writings. They're invaluable to your education. TheCommonSenseShow.com. His research is spot on, and his analyses spot on. Not that you need our endorsement, but man, you know, it's right there. And
there's more, Doug.
Okay.
There's more. Here's what's scary. This isn't just Europe, as I pointed out. This is also, you know, Trudeau is really pushing this through Canada, and it will be law this summer. There's virtually no opposition in Canada to basically say, and you can't say anything about transgenders. Well, you're damn right I can. If I got a niece in a restroom and some XY walks in, XY chromosomes walks in, I got a lot to say. And so don't tell me that I can't speak up on behalf of women in our society, because do I think transgenders by and on themselves are going to molest women? No. But do I think that people who are of that ilk will pretend to be transgenders and do it? Absolutely, and we've opened the door for it to happen in a rampant fashion. But it's not just this. This philosophy in Europe is coming here. In fact, there's evidence from Bloomberg, you know, former New York City mayor, that they're working with the Europeans in this regard. Let me read to you this one short paragraph. This is from Bloomberg.com. Beyond national laws that criminalize hate speech, there is a need to ensure activity by internet users is expeditiously reviewed by online intermediaries. Boy, it sounds like Facebook. And social media platforms upon receipt of a valid notification in an appropriate time, the companies, and listen to this, and the European Commission. Doug, what I read to you earlier from Europe was called the European Commission, and then they have a little longer byline after that. So there's evidence right here that the Bloomberg people, and he's a globalist, they are working with these people in Europe on these same facets. There is absolutely no question that this is an international movement. This is not just going through the EU and they've lost their mind. And then we see in New York City, and I wrote about this nearly 2 weeks ago, where the New York City Commission on Human Rights has said that you must use approved terms to refer to people's gender when they enter your place of business or face stiff fines if they do not comply. So I forget the execution date. I think it's September 1. But there are terms I've never even heard of. It sounds like a skin rash. One term here for gender is Z-E, and then here, H-I-R. And the failure to ask people when they walk in your door in New York City, what would you like to be called, human being, and they give you the answer, okay, thank you. And I think there's 71 choices. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's 71 choices on this.
31 last I saw.
And,
yeah.
Doug, this is insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, okay, right now, well, as of May 30th, New York City, New York City itself added 29 new terms.
Yep.
Making promoting LGBT
31.
And you know, here's the thing.
You're right. It's Facebook that has 71. You're right.
Right. You've got the multi-layered, multi-tiered, fronts, really. But $250,000 for violations by employers, by, landlords. in New York City. Okay, New York City is a cesspool, and I spent so many time. I mean, 18 months we spent,
we spent
working
time,
the streets in New York City. And I'm going to tell you something, Dave. What a you know, these glamour shots that they have about Manhattan and stuff. you go right behind that thin veneer of glamour, and it's a sewer. And so are the people. So are the globalists. So yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, man, it's
and I mean, 31. You have male and you have female. How can you add 29 additional sexual genders to a man and a woman? It just boggles the mind. And then to make people play by the rules to conform or face jail time or monetary penalties is just absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, what this basically is an attack upon Christianity and biblical values, and I'm going to make a statement that kids aren't hearing today in many of the public schools. This country was founded on biblical principles. The Constitution was based on biblical principles. The Supreme Court, the Congress, opened their sessions with the prayer. We are decidedly a Christian nation. Now, because our forefathers had great insight, and they were good human beings for the most part, save slavery, they said that you can practice any religion you want, and government can have nothing to do with it. Now what we're seeing is the imposition of the Muslim religion in our Common Core education. I've documented that on this website, and I'm going to reopen that topic here in the next couple of weeks. We are also seeing the fact that the Christian religion is being put upon in many different ways. In fact, I had Virginia Farver on my radio show last night, and she's known for researching electrical frequency, smart meters, the smart grid, and this elaborate system of communication. And did you know, Doug, that they're the powers that be are going to large Christian churches, and they're paying off the officials to the tune of $400,000 to $500,000, and they're installing these communication systems that tie into FirstNet, and basically it's the police state surveillance grid, and this is happening in our churches right now.
So,
also,
wait a second. Are you saying, Dave, that basically utterances, homilies, and such are being under? It's under surveillance. The Christians are under surveillance.
No, I'm saying, well, probably so. Of course, it is, because everyone else is too. No, what I'm saying specifically is this: is that they need to install what they call these heparin towers. And this is stuff I'm learning from Virginia. She lost her son to brain cancer over this as he was a graduate school on the campus of San Diego State University, and she turned a lemon into a lemonade, and she's been a crusader, and she is on fire in terms of researching this. And what she said last night, and she has never been wrong in the years I've known her, is she said that Christian pastors are being, and their related owners are being paid to put these FirstNet Hebron systems on their church properties. Now, number one, they're exposing the parishioners and anyone who works there to the same kind of brain cancer risk that is causing cancer clusters at universities all through the country, particularly places like San Diego State. Secondly, they're buying into spying on Americans. I mean, wholly a Fourth Amendment violation. But, of course, you're going to have a lot of taking pastors, because if you ask the question, how many pastors are in the clergy response team? Answer, no one really knows. Estimates are between 50 to 100,000. And so they're not going to say no to this money, particularly if they're a 501(c) church and they're already being bought off by the government, not to talk about abortion and transgenderism and so forth. So this is what's also going on. I mean, you asked me at the start of the show, where would you like to start? And I hesitated because there's so darn much. I get brain lock.
I don't blame you. We do too.
Yeah, you're not alone there.
You know, we pause out of necessity because you're right, there is so much there. And you have, I mean, beyond this, you've got Obama and Hillary Clinton, who you lay out as double agents working for the CIA, the KGB. I mean,
let me make that case just very briefly. Anyone who knew about the late Larry Grathwell, and you trace even beyond that to where we know for a fact that Ann Dunham, who was Obama's mother, worked for Tim Geithner's father, who was running the Ford Foundation, which was a CIA psyops connected to MK Ultra. Also, it was known to be a double agent factory with the KGB and the CIA, who aren't always on the opposite sides. And then we know his father, his real father, was a communist. We know that Bill Ayers, who started Obama's political career and was the leader of the Weatherman Underground, who Larry Grathwell penetrated back in the 60s as an FBI undercover agent, we know that he launched Obama's career. And he told, in fact, Ayers told Larry Grathwell that he said, if we ever win and take over, we'll have to create all these re-education camps, put 50 million Americans in, and kill 25 million of them. And they espoused communist values. They aligned with Castro. They aligned with North Vietnam during that Vietnam War period. And this is who backed Obama. And then we've got the Russian defectors, Golitsyn and the Scissors Plan. And so they all say, we're getting our man in the White House. This has been the plan all along. And I'm leaving out details here. I mean, even Vernon Jarrett, who was the father-in-law of Valerie Jarrett, was involved with the Weatherman Underground. And Bill Ayers still visits the White House up until this very day. So Obama is a communist. He was born a communist. He was bred a communist, raised a communist. He is a communist. He's there to fulfill the mission of taking the United States down, wrecking our military, and so forth. Now, Hillary Clinton, we don't have to go any further than the Clinton Foundation.
There you go.
She has partnered with a company called Uranium One. And before people say, oh, Hodges, you've really lost it now, start throwing things at the computer or the radio, let me tell you, this comes from the New York Times. They ran with it, and then I ran with it, and I got more data. But originally, the New York Times last year said that Uranium One, which was partnered and under the control of the Clinton Foundation, which basically she's using to earn funds to run for president, they were using the BLM to extract uranium illegally. This is what the Bundy Ranch and all these other BLM affairs are about, is they're taking minerals, and a lot of it's uranium, off of BLM land, and that's actually ranchers' land, truth be told, and they are selling it to the Russians, and they're throwing in sweetheart deals where Bill Clinton gets paid $500,000 for a speech in Moscow. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Well, let's stop for a second and analyze this. She's taking a natural resource owned by the people of the United States, or certainly by these ranchers, so depending on how you want to legally define BLM land, but she's breaking the law, and it's a felony. But then she's giving it to our old and new Cold War enemy, the Russians. Well, let's back up in history. Where have we seen this kind of thing before? Well, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg in the 1950s sold nuclear secrets to the Russians, and they were electrocuted.
Yep.
And this is what Hillary Clinton is doing is worse. She's not giving, you know, plans on paper. She's giving raw material that can be turned into nuclear weapons that can kill Americans. Now, if that's not CIA, KGB related, what the hell is?
You got that right. And, I mean, you've done, and again, I have to commend you on your research, because reading your articles, your reports at thecommonsenseshow.com, and especially the one with Obama and Clinton, how deep you go into this. Yeah, you got this exactly right. And you know, you had mentioned, I just want to toss this out there, Dave, and this is one rabbit trail I've been looking very heavily at. The Fort McMurray fire. Now, before people say, okay, now you've, you know, to me, accuse me of going off the reservation here. Or going nuts.
Careful, you're going to hear from the ACLU for that comment.
Yeah, really. Well, they can stand in line. Yeah, never mind. But, you know, this fire, what this has done to the oil sands industry, the economy, and I know there are real people involved up there, and I know there are real towns, real homes. I get that. But when I was following this, when you look at the dangerously expansive and incredibly intense fire, I find it pretty convenient, the timing between Obama's, the pipeline, in quotation marks, the oil transport from Canada into the United States. You're talking really billions of barrels, to the extent where disrupting that would wipe out our reserve. And effectively, this fire is doing just that, or will have that effect.
Mm-hmm. And, well, my sources tell me that the cause of this event are gnats, as in Spetsnaz.
I like how you did that. I see what you did there.
That's what I've been told.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I believe it was. I do believe it was. If not outright started, you know, as an arson, it was accelerated just because of the. And I can't prove it, of course, but I do believe that's. And I think for cause, because it's going to have such a negative consequence, an adverse effect on.
Yeah, I can't prove that either, but I'm telling you, the smart money, and one of the sources that told me I've worked with before on other issues, and he's pretty good. And he said it's Spetsnaz. He said, and he said it is to undermine the oil reserves in North America.
Well, see, now let me ask you this, because, and folks, Dave Hodges and I, we do have conversations off air, and we toss things around, and but do you think that this is asymmetrical warfare, Russian activities in Canada because of our meddling in Syria, perhaps?
No, I think it's a little more complicated, and let me explain. When I used to talk about Russian troops on American soil, and yes, folks, they're here and they're still here, and I've got legal documents from FEMA and the Russian Defense Ministry to prove it, people would say to me, well, how can we be conflicting with Russia around the world, and yet we're letting them into our country, and our soldiers into our country? Well, you have to remember who the commander in chief is, or should I say the traitor in chief. As I said before, Obama's a communist. He doesn't work for the best interests of the people. No one knows who the hell he is. Who is his basketball coach in high school? Who is his literature teacher in high school? We know Brzezinski was his Soviet studies instructor at Occidental, but we don't, you know, who is his first girlfriend? Who did he go to the prom with? Who did he hang out with? Why aren't we hearing from his friends? Oh, he was a great guy, told lots of funny jokes. We don't know who the hell this guy is. He's a CIA Manchurian created candidate, and there's clear evidence that if people take the time to do a search on my search engine on my website, they'll find more than likely he's MK Ultra produced, as is his half brother Malik Obama, who runs finance and guns for the Muslim Brotherhood. And the documentation is solid, folks. It's not speculation, and we have circumstantial proof. We had solid proof on this. But back to what you're saying here, is this asymmetrical warfare with the Russians versus the U.S.? You know, that's a logical question. That's a really good question, and it makes a great deal of sense. And if this were the 1960s, I would probably say yes. But what this really is it's basically taking away America's industrial capacity so our military can't maintain a long-term fight. See, we've lost our industries. A lot of our industries that would be converted into wartime production like we did in World War II are gone thanks to the free trade agreements. We've lost 86% of that manufacturing. But what we haven't lost are the vast oil reserves in North America. But that seems to be taking a big hit right now, and Obama knows about it, and he's letting it go on. In fact, Doug, let me give you a parallel situation going on right now. During the height of the Bundy affair, I found a BLM document they scrubbed. Fortunately, I printed it, and I was able to scan it and save it. But the BLM document talked about letting the Chinese build solar energy farms on on these properties. And I had the names, and I'm sorry, I don't have that document in front of me, so I can't quote the name. But they named the Chinese company, and I traced it, and it was a front company for the Chinese military. It was a way that the Chinese were sneaking military into the country while also gaining control of our reserves, probably in payment for the debt that we owe them. And who was letting this go on? Well, this was specifically under the auspices of Harry Reid, but of course he had the approval of Obama, again, a communist working for the communists. He is in place to bring this country down. Now, he hasn't completed the job, and this is why we need to bring in Hillary the criminal, who's, and I'll make a baseball analogy here too. It's amazing to me anyone could vote for Hillary with what's even out there in the public domain, much less in the independent media. But Hillary Clinton is so vicious, so brutal, and such a murderess. I call her the Lizzie Borden of modern times, that Obama, in baseball parlance, would be the eighth inning setup man to get you to the ninth inning where you bring in your closer and shut down three batters and win the baseball game. Hillary's the closer. She is brutal. And so it doesn't matter if she has, you know, communist leanings in her background. This woman is total, as in totalitarian. We will never see the light of day of freedom again if we ever let this woman become president. She has jokingly referred to FEMA camps as fun camps, laughed about sending people there to be reeducated. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, yeah. And you know something?
It's just, this is where we're at. We have, I couldn't have predicted a year ago, 2 years ago, we'd be where we are today. We are at the pivotal crossroads of history. Is Americana, you know, the Pax Americana, as I like to call us, are we going to go down the tubes? And are we going to be a subjugated people? And if we're subjugated people, it's going to be worse than what Nazi Germany did, where they killed 6 million Jews. It's going to be a lot worse than that, because we have a lot more than 6 million people that are going to stand up to this tyranny. And Donald Trump comes along, and you have the immovable force object versus the irresistible force. This is where we're at. This is battleground America. We're not going to get out of this, in my opinion, without a civil war. And God, I hate to say that, Doug, because the bottom line is my life's working pretty well privately. But yeah, I also write about these things because I know this is where we're headed. Do you really think that they're going to let Donald Trump become president and undo the free trade agreements and take away trillions of dollars into corporations so industries have to come home?
Folks, this is a kind of, these are the kind of discussions that Dave Hodges, myself, Ted Brewer, others have off air, and we kind of game things out. You know, it's almost as if we're sitting at a conference table talking about this, and you bring up a really good point. And, folks, Dave Hodges is not, you could tell he's not feeling well you can hear it in his voice. In terms of allergies or whatever, and I just want to thank you for being a real trooper for, joining us tonight. But, this is so important because people have got to see your research and understand the conclusions you are arriving at. You make a good point here.
Let me give you something else. We know Facebook sells our data to the Chinese military. We know that last year the Chinese military hacked into the VA and stole records of 21 million veterans. When you start connecting these kinds of dots, that is a military occupation force move. This is how you do threat analysis, and you let these supercomputers do it. And they know which homes to go to at 3 a.m. to extract people. You know, with the Germans and the SS and the Gestapo, they had to rely mostly on word of mouth. Here they have sophisticated data. And now we have the Chinese at the Long Beach port, where now they own it, and they're bringing in soldiers there. They have the solar energy farms, where they're bringing in front people to run them, but they're really military. I mean, this is an occupation force. And how do I know this? Well, I can connect all these dots with one term. UX-16, Unconventional Warfare Exercise 16, currently probably going on in Texas, probably going on all across the country. They've kept it out of the headlines, unlike what they were able to do with Jade Helm 15, because in effect, this is Jade Helm 16, but with a different script. I know the script because I got the BizOp ads. And what they advertised for were, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically ex-American military guerrilla chieftains. And you know, that's kind of a mouthful. But when you really step back and look at what that means that when the Russians and the Chinese, ostensibly wearing blue helmets under the UN flag, begin to subjugate this country under Obama or Clinton, whoever is running the show at that time, when they begin to do that, you're going to find large numbers of American military units that are going to say no and heck no, but they're going to have to probably fight a guerrilla warfare. This is what they're practicing in Texas right now as I speak, and I have published the documentation, and all I've gotten for that article are crickets chirping. But this is a big, this tells you that everything, Doug, that we've talked about on your show, what we've written about, this is true.
And to me, what's important and what kind of is a little bit disconcerting to me is all of the lives that we're living right now, our lives, the lifestyles, that is, it can change in an instant because the infrastructure has been built right underneath our noses. You pointed this out. The assets have been mobilized. And you know, it saddens me when I see people who get on who talk about, for example, Jade Helm, which you wrote extensively about, you investigated, and they say, well, see, nothing happened during Jade Helm. Really? Nothing happened? Of course it happened, although, you know, things did happen. I don't know, Dave. I mean, it said it a moment ago, you know, I really don't want to see this take place because, you know, things are going pretty well. You know, maybe our station in life is okay. You know, we've got families, we've got a reasonably comfortable way of life that will change or could change. Dave, do you think, I don't want you, I'm not asking you to predict, but how could they possibly, or how will they take out Trump, or how will they ensure or assure that Donald Trump will not be a factor in this?
They still have their gamesmanship they can play at the convention. I was asked by two entities to cover the convention, and I said I'd rather stand on top of the Twin Towers based on what I know on 9/11 than go to Cleveland. Because I found out that MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter, both George Soros organizations, have booked large numbers of rooms in Cleveland.
Yeah, and
there's
actually
going to be hell to pay there. Now, I also think, and I've said this before on your show, the false flag quotient goes way up once that convention starts. And you could invoke a fake ISIS to fly a dirty bomb into the Q Center where the convention is, destroy the Republican Party, and Hillary waltzes into the White House. Or Obama declares if she's going to jail, which is not likely as long as Loretta Lynch is the AG. So what you likely would see is that one of these two is going to be in charge, and it's going to be business as usual as we march towards our ultimate destiny. I have concluded that Trump is sincere, but I also think he's going to make some deals that are going to make people mad. In other words, so he can gain some traction politically. So I think the convention itself is a danger point. Let's not forget that Bobby Kennedy was killed for far less than what Donald Trump has done. And I've also concluded this. You know, Trump used to be one of these guys. And they thought, no harm, no foul, you know, 10 months ago when he announced his presidency, but it got out of control. And the globalists did not predict that millions would wake up and start asking questions and get angry. And now they got a big problem on their hands because if they kill him, it would be so obvious that I don't know that they're ready for the backlash yet. And I don't know that they know what the military would do. In the period between the convention and the election, I think their best option, and you got to think like your enemy. You got to be a coach for a minute and think like the opposing coach. What would I do if I were a globalist and Trump is gaining steam because Hillary cannot beat him? Once he starts pounding out the facts, no one will vote for her. No one of reason, anyway. I think that they'll bring in one of the worst false flags of all time, whether it be biological, chemical, or nuclear, or all three. And Obama declares a state of emergency and stays in power, and that's where the martial law, the Russians, the Chinese, and the UN come in. I think this is a real possible scenario. They're not going to respect the political process and the will of the people. There's no way they're going to let Trump say, well, all the corporations have to come home now and illegals have to get the proper paperwork to stay in the country or come into the country, and we're going to have a 13% tax rate for the wealthy with no exemptions. They're not going to let that happen. They're going to fight. They're not going to give up what they fought for over the last century.
I can see Henry Kissinger, you know, good old Heinz there, you know, having a... I could see him twitching, you know, in his suite at the Waldorf, if he's still there.
Well, I have a suggestion. I think we ought to do a tag team match with winner take all. Hagman and Hodges versus Rockefeller, and choose another globalist. Kissinger would be a good choice, and we could do it MMA style. You know, we tap out
raw,
just like they do in pro wrestling, and we go in there and beat the snot out of them, Doug, and they have to go home with all their toys, and we run the country. How's that?
Kick them out of their sandbox and take their toys and push them out. Yeah, we can be the bullies that they are. I'm game. Let's do that. I'm sure we'd sell a few tickets to that. Although, Dave, I got to tell you, I fight dirty, you know. Of course, I'm good for about the first, I don't know, minute or two, and then I'm going to have to do the rest of the fight.
Well, yeah, me too. You know, I mean, it's going to have to be a quick victory, but compared to those two, I mean, you got to figure we got to be in a little better shape.
Yeah, really. Well, my brother, you know, we're just getting on the top of the hour here. We got about 5 minutes left. I feel bad to the extent that, you know, that we asked you to come on, you know, at the last minute, but I just...
No. Look, it's my pleasure. I didn't even hesitate. When Joe contacted me, I was more than happy. Hey, can I mention one thing again?
Please.
That I've talked about briefly before, and that's scene.life. Get off Facebook, folks. They're selling you down the river. And come over to scene.life, which is Facebook replacement. We have crossed way over 100,000 people since we've talked.
Okay.
On the air the last time.
Yeah, we've got to do that.
Let me explain why people need to do this. My presence needs to be on there because I guess I'm kind of a veteran in this movement, and you're more of a veteran than me. Don't take that personally because you're still better looking, so it's okay for me to say that. But in scene.life, we have veteran presence that disseminate information. We have a lot of new people who are Trump followers who are really upset what's going on, but they don't really understand all the issues. It's a great place to coalesce and learn from each other, and it's a fun Facebook. There's no surveillance. There's no censorship. You just can't threaten people, can't do anything inappropriate, but you're never listening. I mean, you know, Facebook will throw you off if you make a anti-Hillary post. So, you know, I really want people to go to scene.life, sign up, and engage in social media, because it's a way that we can keep communication going and think together, act together, and plan together.
Sounds good. You know, yeah, we do have to get off the normal Facebook social networking. You're exactly right. We're feeding into that monster.
Right, and it's not even like they have to set up, you know, a separate government agency. They set up a user-friendly computer interface program, and we volunteered all of our information. We volunteered all of our connections to our friends and family, and mapped out pretty much our entire nation and who knows who's related to who, and gave it to them for free.
And now the Chinese military has it.
What were we thinking?
Hey, knock, knock. Hey, we're not here for chop suey, guys. We're here for you. And that's what people are going to find. I'm telling you guys, unless we can meet the wolf at the door right right now, and this is the time. This summer is the time. Between now and November is the time. You won't get another chance to fight back. This is the time right now. We all need to make a stand. Yeah, and we need to talk to those people who wear badges, first responders, and people in the military and say, do not obey unconstitutional orders.
And you are so right. And there are so many out there that are still constitutionally minded. I don't know how else to put that. Who are disgusted with what they've seen. And you know, it's getting so now, even in our hometown. If I go to the convenience store for something, I could take a look at one of the officers like I've known for ages, and we'll talk. And then maybe the next day see a new recruit, and the difference is just astounding. A new officer. The buzz.
Yeah, it's the new ones.
Yeah.
It's the new ones, and they're being taught that through federalization programs that we're the enemy. We don't need to be policed in a cooperative manner where we're partners with the police. I mean, really, a good community is one where we call the police when there's trouble, we observe a crime, we call the police, we work together, we cooperate with each other. That's how it's supposed to work. But they're turning it into an adversarial relationship where the younger police cadets are being taught that we're the enemy.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and that's, we still have that ability right now to change that, or at least delay the, you know, what's coming. And I think we can do that, but we do have to become active, proactive. And you're right. Talk to the badge holders, talk to the first responders
and there's also guns, food, and water.
There you go.
And don't forget the Bible.
Amen, brother. And of course, Dave Hodges, our guest for this hour, so gracious to join us, thecommonsenseshow.com. Folks, make sure you support him, his research, his efforts. That's thecommonsenseshow.com. Dave, I just want to say thank you so much, my brother, for joining us this hour. Oh, man.
Absolutely my pleasure. I am so honored to be on your show, and anytime you want me back, I'll come back.
All right, my friend. God bless you. And take care of yourself. Get some rest. Get some real restorative rest.
Yeah, I'm on the mend, but I'm doing better. And this gets me fired up because it gets my adrenaline pumping. So temporarily, I feel like I have energy. So this is a good thing.
Well, you're in our prayers and the audience as well. And you take care. And
God bless
again,
you.
Thank you.
And scene.life, you're on. We're gonna be checking that out and urging our audience to do that. And of course,
yeah, join my group. I got the Common Sense Show up there, and a lot of good groups up there. And like I said, no censorship.
Amen.
Awesome.
That's the way to go. All right,
and
brother.
You don't sell to the Chinese, so
yeah.
Exactly.
General Tso's chicken for you.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, brother. God
Thanks,
bless
Dave.
You. Man.
Take care.
We're coming up against the top of the hour break. The rest of the show, we're going to get into some news and current events that are going on. Tomorrow, we have Dr. Michael Lake lined up. And just a quick announcement. Until the first Tuesday in August, Stan will not be joining us.
Yeah.
He is taking a hiatus, not from work, just from this show, so he can focus on his lecture series in the upcoming conference he's got going on in July that he's been working real hard on. So Stan's going to be taking a two-month break from the Hagman and Hagman Report, but he will be back. But tomorrow, Dr. Lake will be with us. Just wanted to let everybody know that Stan is all right. And if you don't hear him here on Tuesdays, it's because he's on his break working on his lectures.
More to come right after the break.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.